This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, and this is The Morning Run, and you're here with Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kernison. It is now 7:06 in the morning, 1st of October, the start of the last quarter of the year, and it's, of course, a Thursday. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Darshan Joshi, the lead researcher at the think tank REFSA, on what a carbon tax could look like in Malaysia. But before that, markets, because, you know, as we know, the Dow had a relatively choppy day, but still ended up in a positive territory. So it was up 1.2%. S&P 500 was also up 0.8%, while the Nasdaq was up 0.7%. Meanwhile, we look at Asian markets. The Nikkei was actually down 1.5%. Hang Seng was up 0.8%. Shanghai Com was down 0.2%. Kospi was closed yesterday. Straits Times Index was down 0.2%. And the FBM KLCI was up 0.06%. But a lot of Asian markets are actually closed today for the Mid-Autumn Festival. Now, but the question is, where are markets heading? So to help us answer that question, we have on the line with us Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony. Now, the question, in which direction will US equities likely trade for the rest of the month? Is risk aversion making a comeback to financial markets given the political and economic uncertainties?
That's a great question. I think we expected a down month in September, and that's what we got. We're also looking for a pretty difficult month in October, not quite as far down as September's been. But I think you're right on the uncertainty side. One of the big unknowns is stimulus coming out of the U.S. government. And obviously that would help move markets in other countries as well. We should know by the end of this week if there will be more stimulus or the magnitude of that stimulus coming out of the U.S. So the real question around whether things will rally or fall is when the U.S. will open up and when other countries will kind of fully open up, not partially open up. We look at, you know, Europe's doing pretty well, actually, in opening up. Asia's doing pretty well. The U.S. is still kind of a patchwork. So we won't really know the direction, the near-term direction. But I think over the next month, we're looking at a bit of a fall.
And meanwhile, the Fed is extending the dividend and buyback limit with Wall Street banks till 2021. The announcement came out last night. So what does that tell us about the finance sector?
Well, we've been expecting rotation into financials for some time. And that tells us that if dividends and buybacks are limited, those banks, obviously, there's a risk factor there, meaning that the regulators want those banks to hold on to their cash. But it also means that that the regulators also aren't sure about when things will be back to normal. So that conservative approach of forcing banks to hold on to their liquidity tells us that there's not a lot of confidence in the next quarter or two. So we'll really have to see the pace of recovery here in the U.S.
And Tony, just one more question on the U.S., and that's the job data that's coming out later today, right? So it's out on Friday, and it's going to be the last one before elections. Are you expecting a good number, and how much will it impact the ongoing debate on further fiscal stimulus?
You know, we do expect it to be a good number. The ADP number was out today, and it usually comes before the U.S. government's non-farm payrolls number, the labor number. It was 750,000 jobs added. That was 100 or more thousand greater than was expected. Now, the U.S. Labor Department typically is higher than ADP. We expect the Department of Labor report on Friday to be about 900,000. So this is really good. Companies are coming back online. They're employing. There are fewer people out of work. That's good for the recovery. We keep hearing hesitation about the pace of recovery. We're not sure of the pace. But from an employment perspective, and even things like retail sales, the indications are good. So, you know, we're hoping for the best. And unemployment is telling us that things are moving in the right direction.
And if we look at oil, right, because the recent API and EIA crude inventory reports are telling us that oil demand tells us about the oil demand projections for the rest of the year. So what do you think? Do you think recovery is a long way off?
We do, actually. So production is up about 15% or so. Demand is still down 20 to 30%. So, you know, it's not a good pricing environment for crude or for petrol. Downward pressure will still remain in those markets. We won't see, say, Brent north of 50 for some time. We won't see WTI north of 45 for some time. There is a possibility. We've heard for months about the possibility of a supply shock as demand comes back, which would push prices up. We're just not seeing that at this point, and it's going to be several months. If that does happen, it'll be several months before it happens.
And one last question on China. Their manufacturing PMI for September came in at 51.5, higher than market forecasts. How much should investors consider or place stock in this figure? Does this number suggest that China is well and truly on the recovery path?
I would be really careful of looking at a China PMI. I'm worried of PMIs generally, but I'd be careful of the China PMI. I haven't believed it, well, for years, if ever, partly because it's a kind of a second derivative of real data. It's an opinion survey of future expectations, and it's an index of that opinion survey. I know that sounds confusing, but you're really far away from real data when you're looking at a PMI number. And with China, the uncertainty and murkiness around Chinese economic data is something to be careful of. So I would say if I'm investing in China, if I'm looking at data in China, the stuff that I've always found more important was firsthand information, what's actually happening on the ground with your vendors, what's actually happening in cities on the ground. I'm not saying that China is suffering. I'm not saying China's experienced a massive pullback. I'm just not sure about the rate of recovery in China.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us a somewhat optimistic view of the of the U.S. economy, saying that all the indicators are that recovery is there. Unemployment numbers should improve. Meanwhile, retail sales have also improved, although the finance sector is in a bit of a weak spot at the moment because the Fed have basically said, hey, no more dividends, no more share buybacks until 2021. So what did you take away from the call, Roshan?
Well, a few things, right? Tony is perpetually the perennial Chinese bear. But I mean, he makes some good points, right? Because the PMI is a survey and it's an index of a survey. And he just prefers real hard data. So firsthand information, which is, I guess, good science in a way. But yeah, he seems to think that in the US, unemployment is headed in the right direction, which is a good sign. Retail sales are recovering. The other one was that oil production, right? We're supposed to see that supply shock. That was what was expected. That's not what's happening. Supply production is up 15% or thereabouts. Demand is still down 30%. Not good for oil and gas.
Yeah, but meanwhile, in the US, two of the most keenly anticipated tech flotations of the year traded higher after debuting on the US stock market yesterday. So shares in Palantir, the data analysis company backed by Silicon Valley investor Peter Thiel, they opened at $10 in the company's direct listing and traded as high as $11.42 before closing at $9.50, valuing the company at about $18 billion, slightly short of the $12 billion it achieved in private hands. It's a kind of a secretive company because it does a lot of stuff on the cloud. But there was another tech company that made its debut on the New York Stock Exchange called Asana, which is a business software company led by Facebook, one of the Facebook co-founders. And the point is basically, looks like it doesn't matter whether we're in recession. Capital markets in the US are still active, especially for the tech space. I guess anything that's a work from home kind of team does well. After all, Snowflake did pretty well. It debuted a $2.4 billion IPO earlier in September. Remember, Warren Buffett, who hates tech, took a stake in this stock. So it looks like tech is here to stay, something we can't run away from. But up next, we'll be speaking to Darshan Joshi, lead researcher at REFSA, on the imposition of carbon tax on future investments, or the possibility of that. Stay tuned for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.